somebody when you get to heaven and you're in your mansion and you'll never hear a knock at your door and an angel be there and say, you got to leave heaven.
Amen.
And you say, what? Yeah, you got to leave heaven because his mercy ran out. His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
He's my Savior forever. And that's one of the things that I like about this. What I want to spend some time today, a lot of people don't realize, but there are pictures of the New Testament church in the Old Testament. And I want to go spend some time in Jeremiah chapter 18. So if you would turn there, and this will kind of follow in suit with what we taught in Sunday school about the stones that Solomon was building. And he was building the stones for the temple, and what was going on is they were tooling, they were forming and making those stones to where they would fit, but they could not use the tools on site. They did not want the tooling to be heard where the temple was. And it's a good picture of the fact that that's what God's doing with you and I. What he's doing is he's grooming us. He's shaping us. And he's tooling us down here to fit in the temple up there.
Amen.
And that's one of the amazing things. And by the way, it says that the wood there, and you can read it in 1 Kings chapter 6, but it says that the wood can't be seen in the temple. It's covered. Covered with gold. Why can't it be seen? Why can't we be seen in heaven? Because we're covered. Covered by the blood. I'm glad that I'm covered by the blood.
Amen.
That victory in Jesus is because there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. But I want to spend some time here on this particular passage. Most of us are familiar with the concept that the Lord is the potter and we're the clay. And this is where that passage, that concept comes from right here in Jeremiah chapter 18. And the interesting thing is that the Lord uses this. This is a picture of the New Testament church. New Testament Bible-believing church. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses here. Probably just the first six verses. Starting with verse 1, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you that you've got a plan for each one of us. And Lord, I pray for you just to move in a special way in the message. And Lord, you know that this preacher is absolutely fallible and cannot speak the words that you want me to speak without your help. And Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to guide me and to teach me and help me to say what needs to be said. And Lord, I'm counting on you to do that. And Lord, these people are here not to hear from me, but to hear from you. And Lord, that's what I want. I want to hear from you as well. Lord, thank you for loving us. Use this time to make us more like Jesus. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We have a picture here of the potter and the potter's house. And what we see is the fact that there are issues here. First off, obviously, God is the potter. What are you and I in the potter's hands? We're clay. Now, I can tell you, even all the way back when I was a little boy, back 100 years ago or so, but the truth is, they had Play-Doh. And you know what happens to Play-Doh? If you leave it out, it dries out. It gets hard and crusty. I want you to know something. That's what happens to the children of Israel if we get dried out. And that's what happens to you and I as well. When we are not in the potter's hand and he's moistening us so that he can make us, guess what? We're going to have those hard spots in our life. We're going to have those issues that are hard to deal with, and we don't want to give them up. But what the potter does is he'll pick those hard spots off. It's not pleasant sometimes. Sometimes those hard spots are going through back surgery or neck surgery or whatever you face. But guess what? The potter's going to take care of us.
Amen.
The potter wants to mold us and make us what he's got a plan for. That's what it says. It says, look at what it says in, and I like this part here. It says, in verse 2, it says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." You know where you're going to hear God's words? In the potter's house.
Amen.
That's where you need to go. A lot of people go to the lake. They'll go out in the woods. They'll go get alone in a tree stand or whatever. And they say, "Well, I can hear God so much." You're not going to hear God as well anywhere else as good as you're going to hear him in his house. You want to see the potter? Guess what? He's home. He's always home. He's always in his house. There are times when I come by the church, and in fact, Thursday I had to meet the air conditioning guy. We had an issue with one of our units, and I had to meet the guy here. And you know what? When I walked through the doors, God was still here, even though I might have been the only one here. Brother Myron comes in sometimes ahead of me before he goes to the jail. And guess what? The Lord's still here, isn't he, Brother Myron?
Amen.
This is his house. He's always going to be home. And you need to make sure that you understand this is a holy place. This is a place where God wants to meet with his children. But look at what it says in verse 3. It says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." I don't know if you've ever done any pottery. When I was in Cub Scouts years ago, they took us to a pottery house, and we made our own little bowls and things of that nature. And I made one, and they let us glaze it and then send it through the kiln to bake it. It's interesting. You know what I found out about doing that? I found out that every movement, every molding that I put on that clay stayed right there. It was just the way I made it. And what we see here is the fact that God's working a work. You know where he works today? He works in his house, in the potter's house.
Amen.
And when you come to the potter's house, one of the things that you're going to find is you're going to find different types of vessels. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, the potter doesn't always make all cups or all bowls or all vases or all pitchers. He makes different items. And sometimes he's making a bowl, sometimes he's making a cup. Each one of us are different. God's got a plan, and he's molding you to be something different than he's molding me to be something different than molding anybody else. Each one of us is special in the potter's hands. Now you take the clay out of the potter's hands, guess what? You're not going to get much work out of it. You're not going to get much good. That clay is going to get hard. But when he's molding, he's making, he's got a plan for each item. And that not only does he making, and I want you to kind of picture going into a pottery house, but you've got shelves over here. And you've got some bowls over here, you've got some cups over here, you've got some vases over here, and different things around on the shelves. And each one of them is in a different phase of construction or molding and usefulness. Some of them are finished pretty much to a point where it's already been glazed, it's already gone through the fire, and it's ready to be used. Some of them are still, the potter just took off the wheel. You say, what is that? Those are people that the Lord has saved recently. And he's still molding and making. By the way, I love the song. The kids sing it. We sing it on the bus. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make this moon and stars, the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient is he? Because he's still working on me. By the way, he really is. He's still working on me, and I hope he's still working on you. What we need to realize is these cups and these bowls and all these things, some of them are ready for use. Some of them are too early to use. Because what God's doing is he's making you to be useful in his kingdom. God doesn't waste any time. He's putting things together in a special way. And that's what the New Testament Baptist Church is. It's a place where we can be used. Why would God give us spiritual gifts? Where can we use our spiritual gifts? You got some that are teachers, some that are prophets, some of them, and some of them gift of mercy, some of them servants. You've got all these different spiritual gifts, but where are you going to use them? In the potter's house, in the Lord's house. He doesn't make everybody the same. We all have different gifts and abilities. And I will tell you, the Bible says that sometimes the Holy Spirit, he says, he gives several gifts as he will, as he chooses to. He wants to get, and maybe you've got several gifts, spiritual gifts, but I guarantee you, everybody that's saved has at least one spiritual gift. And what we need to do is to find a way to use that gift. Otherwise, all the work that the potter worked on the wheel to create us and make us what he wants us to be is in vain. But think about it. You walk into the potter's house and you see all these different places and all these different vessels. But there's one of them that's... Say there's a pitcher over there and the handle kind of fell off. That's what it says. Look at verse 4. It says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. There are some people, and I'm going to be kind, try to be kind when I say this, but there are some people, I have a good friend of mine, and he was a preacher, and his wife left him. He was divorced. That vessel was marred not because of his fault. It wasn't his fault. But the truth is, what happens is, there are certain things he can still do. Now, he's in heaven today, so I'm not talking about anybody that you know. But the truth is, he went to Tennessee Temple and got saved while he was there. He went to Tennessee Temple to avoid the draft to the Vietnam War. And he ended up getting saved.
Amen.
And he graduated, and he was one of the best friends I ever had on planet Earth. And I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes things happen in our lives that are out of our control. Sometimes we make a mistake. Sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we throw ourselves away and say, well, if you recall a little bit about John Mark, John Mark was going with Paul and Barnabas, and he was going on the missionary trips with them. And then all of a sudden, he heads back home. Now, in Paul's eyes, John Mark had marred his vessel. He had something wrong. Paul couldn't trust him again for a while. Sometimes each one of us have things in our lives that hold us back. But you know what it says? Look at what it says. Verse 4 again. It says, and the vessel that he made was marred in the hand of the potter. That kind of reminds me of what happened to Adam and Eve. And it says, so he made it again another vessel. Maybe something's happened in your life that you feel like God can't use you anymore. I got news for you. He always wants to use people that will let him.
Amen.
No matter what happened in the past. I know a man that got saved in prison and turned right around and got saved, and he graduated. Once he got out of prison, he went to Landmark Baptist College. He graduated, and he started two churches that I know of. By the way, that's not me. I've started two churches, but I never was in prison. Well, I take that back. I have preached in them. But the truth is, no matter what your past is, God can still use you. God wants to use you. And I want to tell you something else. And I say this, I thought my life was going to consist of me staying at the mines till I was 60, 65. And the Lord told me in my mid-40s, he said, I want you to go to Landmark Baptist College. And I started taking part-time classes. And that led to me finishing my bachelor degree, and then they brought me on staff. I'm saying all that to say this. I had no idea that the Lord was going to mold me to be a preacher. That was the farthest thing from my mind. It's just every step he told me, I said, okay, Lord, you know best. And okay, Lord, you know best. Next thing I know, I'm on staff at the college. Next thing I know, I'm in Missouri and starting a church. And next thing I know, I'm in Bartow starting a church. I want you to understand, God can use each one of us. And he wants to use us. But he has one problem to overcome. Your free will.
Yep.
You can say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. Taught a little class, lesson in my most recent class. It was church administration, and the key is, and I use this sometimes. Sometimes us guys, when we're doing construction, we need to drive a nail or something like that. We don't have a hammer nearby, so we'll use a pair of pliers or use a shoe or whatever we need to, whatever we've got handy. God does the same thing. Sometimes the hammer says, no, Lord, I don't want you to, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. You know, it's kind of, it's a shame that the Creator of all things would have to use a shoe instead of a hammer, but sometimes He does. But whatever He calls you to do, guess what? He's got a good plan for you.
Yeah.
What happens if somebody says, okay, Lord, I'm not going to go there? And the Lord says to somebody else, well, I had plans for you to do this other job, but this one's more important, so I want you to do this one. And the shoe in God's hand says, okay, Lord, whatever you want. And that's what happens sometimes. You may feel like a shoe that God wants to use to drive a nail. You may feel like a pocket knife that God wants to use to tighten a screw. But whatever it is, whatever God wants you to do, He's got a plan. And His plan's always perfect. Always perfect. And sometimes we've messed up. Well, guess what happens? If God's looking for people that have never messed up, He won't find anybody. Because we're all there. We've all messed up somewhere down the line. But you know what? I get excited when I think about God using me anyway.
Amen.
I get excited when I think about what He's done in my life. Not because I'm special. He'll do things marvelous and magnificent in anybody's life if they just put themselves in His hands. But He's molding you. He's making you. He's making what God a plan for you. And by the way, what's the purpose of the vessels? To carry the medicine. The medicine of this world, that this world needs, is the Word of God. Sometimes it's a bowl, sometimes it's a pitcher, sometimes it's a cup, sometimes whatever it is. God wants you to carry the book. He wants you to carry the medicine. He wants you to share the medicine with the world. What else? I mean, what else would He want us to do? Oh, we can praise Him. I'll tell you something else. I can praise Him a whole lot better without this sin-cursed body when I'm in heaven. That's not why God has us here after we get saved. There's two things that we can't do in heaven. Number one is sin. And number two is win souls. Now, which one of those things do you think the Lord leaves us here to do? He leaves us here to win souls, even though He knows we're going to mess up. But I want to go over some things here. These are some lessons from the Potter's House. It says things you'll find at the potter's house. The potter's house is where you'll find the potter. Some look for God at the lake and all that I told you about. But the potter's house is where He works His wonders.
Amen.
You know how many people we've seen saved the past year? 229, last count. Why is that, preacher? It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with us giving out the medicine, the Word of God, and letting the Holy Spirit do the work.
Yeah.
And each time you think about it, and what happens if God makes each one of us just like the other? I want you to think about it. You go out here in the parking lot, you'll see all kinds of different vehicles. All different colors. What happens if God makes all of us alike? How many of us would like to be driving the same kind of car, the same color car that everybody else drives? It'd be a boring world. Back in the 1930s and 40s, all the cars were black. What about the fact that if God made each one of us alike? I remember hearing a preacher say one time, he said, if God made you and me exactly alike, he wasted one of us, and I know which one that is. He doesn't waste anything. He's got a plan. And I don't want to be the one to mess up God's plan. Because it doesn't take anything special that quick. You can mess it up. I go into the jail sometimes and wad up a styrofoam cup in front of the boys, and I say, that's how easy you can mess your life up. It doesn't take anything special to mess it up. It does take something special effort to keep your life clean and pure and available to the Lord to allow Him to use you. You see, this potter's house was a picture that God showed in the Old Testament of what He was going to do with the New Testament church. And He's the potter, and I'm the clay. And you know one of the things that the potter or the clay doesn't have an option to do? It doesn't have an option to tell the potter, Lord, I want to be a bowl. No, don't work that way. What's it say? Verse 4 says, and the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. He's the one that chooses. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. He doesn't care much about what you want. He's got what's best for you. But what if I don't want to do that? Well, then you're going to mess up His plan. What you're going to do is you're not going to be as happy. You're not going to get the blessings that God has for you. And He knows why He made you. He knows what He's got in store for you. So many people in our world today miss out on the blessings that God has for them because they don't put themselves in God's hand. But if you do, He's got something special. Something that you cannot imagine. But you don't have to do it. That's why He gave us a free will. That's why He allows us to say yes or no. By the way, I have people ask me why God allowed man to have a free will. And I want you to think about it. Little Sawyer back there, it wouldn't take much for his daddy to take his arm and twist it up behind his back and make him say, tell me, Sawyer, I want you to tell me you love me. That wouldn't take much. Wouldn't mean much either. That's basically what we would be if God didn't give us a free will. He gave us a free will so we could choose to love Him.
Amen.
But I guarantee you, it's special when Sawyer comes up and wraps his arms around his daddy and said, Daddy, I love you. That you can't put a price on. That's special. God wants us to choose to be used by Him. Choose to love Him. And all the negative issues in our world come from the fact that God gave mankind a free will to choose. He doesn't want to take anybody to heaven against their will. But I guarantee you, it doesn't take long for them to hit those flames that they'll realize they messed up. See, when the Bible talks about go down to the potter's house and hear my words, it's talking about the church. It's talking about the Lord's church. And that's where you hear God speak. And that's where you see God work. And I'm sure glad. I get excited when I see people get saved. I get excited when I see them change. All of a sudden they're standoffish. All of a sudden they really don't want to talk to the preacher. Next thing I know, they're coming up to the preacher and with their hand out, shaking my hand. Guess what? That's special. Then they find out ways to reach others, pass out tracts and all. I like watching God work. And I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid if I miss something, and I know people say, well, you're the preacher, you have to be here. I don't have to be here. Okay? But I sure do enjoy, like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Amen. I like being here. I like, and I'll go a step farther. There's not a person in this room that I don't love. And I say that with all sincerity. In fact, I'll go a step farther. I'm preparing a lesson for my local church class that I'm going to be teaching in a few weeks. And love is something that God gives us when we get saved. It's our family resemblance. He imparts the love into your heart and mine because the Bible says God is love. And if He's love and we get saved and we become His children, guess what? Love is part of our nature now. If it's not part of your nature, then you've got to check and see if you're saved.
Right.
But I sure am glad. And I'm going to say this. I've met people on the bus when I was driving the bus. It didn't even like me. But I pray for them because I love them. There are people that we need to love. Why? Jesus said in John 13:35, He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We're supposed to love one another. And if we don't, there's a problem. Maybe we're not His disciples. That's basically what He's saying. But I'm glad I'm able to come to the potter's house. I'm glad I'm able to watch Him work. I'm glad I'm able to see Him mold and make vessels and watch them go out and make a difference. I'm kind of addicted to watching God work. Because every so often, He just blows my mind. And it don't take much, by the way. But the truth is, we've got a great God who's doing a great work in a place in Bartow where there was no church 10 years ago. No church like this one. Are you going to let Him use you? Are you going to let Him mold you? I hope so. I pray that you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. Lord, what a blessing it is to watch You work in Your house. Lord, so many people miss the boat when they think they can watch You and get closer to You when they're not in church. Lord, I like to watch You at work in the potter's house.
in your house. Lord, thank you for loving us. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, don't let them leave here today without trusting Jesus. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Hymn number 275, Almost Persuaded.